Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Youth Council is getting started. This is something we've been wanting to do for quite a while. It's a League of Cities sponsored thing that allows students, high school students interested in becoming involved in their community, learning about the inner workings of local government and sharpening their leadership skills. We are working with the City of Gulf Breeze and the City of Milton to be considered for the Youth Council. Students must meet the following requirements: be a City of Pensacola resident, be in 11th or 12th grade during this academic year, and submit the completed application by Friday, March 12th at 4 p.m.
So that was Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson yesterday during our press conference talking about the Youth Council that's being put together in coordination with the City of Gulf Breeze, City of Milton, and the City of Pensacola. It's a project that we've talked about several different times with Sam Abel. She is the city manager for the City of Gulf Breeze. Sam, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, happy rain day.
Why, thank you. Gosh, I feel like we were just here yesterday.
Exactly right. Hey, before we do anything else, I want to make sure that I say this. The audit that was ongoing for 28 months wrapped up last fall. You were in Tallahassee. You presented some stuff to the auditing committee. We had reported on it, and we reported inaccurately. Part of the newscast reported that there was allegations of impropriety and even corruption. That is not accurate. That is not true. And I wanted to take a moment just on behalf of the station to apologize to you for that. If anybody heard that report, those elements were not accurate. And I just wanted to say that to you before we did anything else.
Andrew, I really appreciate that. That does really mean a lot. And I will let you know that it is times like that where you're grateful for the reputation of the city and the people who do know the facts. Senator Broxton was wonderful, jumped right on the phone, and some other people did. And your news radio was very quick to remedy that. So we haven't heard, you know, anything about it since. I think the truth did get out there, and I appreciate that. But I will tell you, for a quick moment, it was a bit of a heart attack. It was a bit surreal, but I just appreciate everybody being so quickly responsive.
Yeah, and well, that's just our job. So thank you for being gracious about that. But I did want to give you just a second before we talk about the Youth Council and last night's meeting. This was a really interesting review. And from my take, the basic summary of it all was the things that, you know, you're working on basically everything that they addressed, you know, and there were a couple of things where you kind of disputed some of their concerns, I thought reasonably. But in the end, this is how you grow from being, you know, the city that Gulf Breeze was to being the city that Gulf Breeze is trying to be, right?
Right. And so, you know, I'm a bit of a bird on a wire in this situation. So I can look back philosophically. The audit focused on 2012 and the period of time when the city purchased a golf course outside of our city limits. And so the surprise that came out of the operations report is that the group of state auditors, and we had between, you know, 5 and 8 most of the time throughout that 28-month period, reviewing all aspects of city operations, that audit said that the city never should have purchased the golf course, and that if there had been better analysis done, that it's evident that the city wouldn't have purchased the property because golf has never been profitable. That was the evidence that they used. That, well, if you had done better analysis, that was a poor business decision that would not have otherwise been made. And so at present day, the recommendation is that the city should never have sold land below appraised value to the school or for, you know, primarily a stormwater system. The city, in fact, should be selling the property at highest and best use, which is high-density residential, because that is what's in best interest of the ratepayer. So Mayor Fitch felt it was, you know, very important that we go to Tallahassee and explain that Gulf Breeze has the only citizen advisory utility board that represents primarily our non-city ratepayers.
Right.
And that advisory board makes recommendations to the council, and the council has to weigh what is in the best interest of all concerned. And so we knew during the Great Depression that golf was not going to make a profit.
Right.
The analysis was done on the front end, but the reason why we did that is because there are 15 homeowners associations along 344 acres that would be facing, you know, derelict property that had been damaged from Hurricane Ivan, and property values would have further plummeted. And so we saw a win-win because the city obviously uses the golf course for reclaimed water for all of our ratepayers across 30 square miles. And we have proudly reinvested and revitalized that property. We actually sold that property last Friday, Andrew. So that was another irony of this whole thing.
No, don't let that go so quickly. People might not have heard what you just said. Say it. Like, this is your sound clip moment, Sam. Say it.
The city sold a revitalized golf course last Friday. The clubhouse was sold to Scott Zepp, owner of so many different successful franchises, including World of Beer. And he purchased the clubhouse and two holes of the former West Course. The rest of the West Course was sold to our school and is used as green space, as parks for those residents. The East Course, fully revitalized, was in the black last year, continues to have more rounds of golf this year than what was projected, and was zoned to Capstone Golf in partnership with Scott Zepp. So what we went to Tallahassee to talk about was a story of a purchase, rehab, and resell in best interest of our larger community. It wasn't a profit-driven decision, but we think that history will tell that story very well. And as we shared with the community, we are proud of the story of Tiger Point.
Right, and then taken in isolation as if it were some kind of an industry or an endeavor, an enterprise, sure. But taken in the totality of circumstances, including the spray field, the alternate water processing site, and everything else, that's where you start to get the perspective. We're talking to Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, hang on for me for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic break in here with Davis Allen.
Yeah, pardon me, sorry. Let's start in Navarre just to give you an update on what's going on with that accident. Eastbound traffic's flowing smoothly, apparently, but now westbound, I'm still seeing those delays. Last report was that traffic was being rerouted through Walmart. So again, this is the Walmart on Navarre Parkway westbound, and still seeing delays in Gulf Breeze through eastbound, backed up to around, backed up around the Tiger Point Golf Course, and westbound delayed around Bay Woods Drive. Southbound Garcon Point Bridge delayed heading into Gulf Breeze, but clearing up a little bit, still seeing a little bit of slow-moving traffic going northbound across the hump. It clears up once you get on Avalon Boulevard until you get to around Luray Street. It's pretty delayed northbound. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, we only have a minute or two left, but there are at least two things I wanted to make sure to get to. Number one is, are you finally out of the Inverarity Island water business? Are you finally divorced from Escambia County on this issue?
Well, yes. I tell you what, it was quite the week, to go to Tallahassee and talk about the $48 million that we saved ratepayers by not having to build a second treatment plant, and then come back and be talking with ECUA about the fact that they have now successfully tied on their sewer customers in Inverarity Island, which we have been providing water and sewer service to those residents since 2014, just to help out another unfortunate casualty from the Great Recession. And we stepped in there because we had service in the area. And so Escambia gave them time to find some grants and find money that helps, you know, keep the cost as low as possible. And so that Inverarity Island is now fully back with ECUA. And that was the closing of another history book from the recession and another community win-win. So that's right. We closed the books on both of those, Andrew.
Very good. I know it's just like cleaning up all the old business in the last little bit of time. And that one for certainly has been a Russian novel and unfortunately probably still will be for a lot of reasons. But it's not your Russian novel anymore. Hey, last thing I wanted to give you at least one minute just to talk about. You got the community survey results back. Highlights for our listeners?
Yes. So bottom line is that this is a survey that is the National Community Survey, where there are benchmark questions that compare your community to communities across the country. And the city decided to make sure that bar was high. So we did not compare ourselves with other coastal communities or communities of similar size, but all cities across the nation. The city scored higher than the national average in every quality of life category in the survey, including Gulf Breeze was ranked number one in quality of life as a place to live and raise children and retire, number one in sense of community, number three overall quality of life, number seven in likelihood to remain in Gulf Breeze for the next 5 years. And overall image and reputation of Gulf Breeze was also very high. There were over a dozen categories where Gulf Breeze ranked higher than the national average. And so because of that, Gulf Breeze is eligible for a national award. You know, what makes us so proud, what really humbled me in these results, Andrew, is that this is a survey which we had planned as part of our strategic planning. And we decided to go forward with it, even though it was just over a month since Hurricane Sally. Mm-hmm. We felt strongly that the results would probably be poor, frustrations and fear, of course, with the bridge also out. But it's important to measure both in good times and in bad. So to get the results back and to see that residents ranked highly our emergency preparedness, our police services and crime prevention and our sense of community, it really humbled our city employees, our city management. And what I really love is, and what I really appreciated so deeply last night, is that we have a city council of individuals who own businesses and manage businesses, and they are business minded. And so what they said is, you know, in a situation such as, you know, when you get these kinds of results, you might have a human tendency to focus on those things where we could do a little better.
Right.
Unsurprisingly, our residents said that, you know, they are concerned about growth management and economic development. But what our councilman said, and specifically Councilman Torgerson said, we must focus on what we do well,
right,
and make sure that we do even better. And that's a business-minded corporate approach of, we understand what our brand is and we're now going to double down. So
I love it.
I'm proud to get those results back, and you'll see that as we move forward with our strategic plan.
Oh, it's fantastic news. It really is. Well, Sam Abel, she's the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
8:21 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
So fine, through the bumps of time in your prime. Then you.
On the battle damage assessment, we've obviously seen a lot of reporting out there on numbers of casualties from Thursday's strike. What I can tell you is that we believe right now there was likely one militia member killed and two militia members wounded.
Can you respond to what some of the militant groups are saying, that this is just a pinprick, it had real no operational effect on them?
I haven't seen those comments. I would go back to what I said last week, that this was really designed to do two things: to remove that compound from their utilization of it as an entry control point from Syria into Iraq, and two, to send a very strong signal that we're not going to tolerate attacks on our people and our Iraqi partners.
Press Secretary for the Department of Defense, retired Rear Admiral John Kirby, there talking about the attack that was ordered by the Biden administration against the militants coming into Iraq from Syria, and answering questions about the significance of that as a warning shot, at the very least, against future such attacks against military personnel of the United States. 8:24 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Coronavirus cases rising again in the U.S. amidst concerns over new variants of the disease.
After several weeks of declining cases, new cases are suddenly up more than 2% nationwide to 67,200 per day. Deaths are also up 2% to nearly 2,000 per day, just as some cities and states are relaxing COVID restrictions.
That's NBC's Tom Costello. A third woman accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of inappropriate conduct. According to the New York Times, the woman says Cuomo made unwanted advances toward her at a wedding in 2019. Walt Disney CEO Bob Chapek says he doesn't know if there's going to be any way back to how theatrical releases worked before the pandemic. He says Disney is still committed to putting movies on the big screen, but he's not sure moviegoers will return to the cinema in the same numbers after being able to get content on demand over the past year.
I know how they can get people back in the theaters.
How's that?
More warning labels. If they just put more warning labels, that will raise our wokeness level, and it will get it'll get us to go. Because, nothing gets you to want something more than somebody telling you, hey, this has got offensive content in it, right?
More warning labels and free drinks.
free beer, bigger warning labels. That could be Disney's new slogan in 2021. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, now time for traffic on the fives.
Oh, no, Andrew. Oh, no. I think I see an accident on Garcon Point Bridge going northbound.
Right,
now, it is showing delays backed up into Gulf Breeze. Just be ready to pack your patience. Use caution when you're in this area. So, oh, no. Going northbound on Avalon Boulevard, we are also seeing delays. As a matter of fact, it's showing delays backed up almost to Garcon Point Road. If you're getting sick and tired of waiting in these delays, then take Garcon Point Road northbound to I-10. It does appear to be checking in clear. Also, I'm noticing delays along Burgess Road. This appears to be traffic due to West Florida High School, but this is Burgess Road in between Palafox and Oakfield Road. So just expect those delays over there. And checking in on what's going on in Navarre westbound in front of the Walmart does apparently show delays. And earlier we had received reports that they are rerouting traffic through Walmart. That does appear to still be the case. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So a couple of years ago, Christina Leavenworth, a good friend, she said, I'm going to leave the news business. I'm going to go into real estate. And those of us who were her friends were like, I hope so. I hope it works. Well, 3 years later, 130 homes sold last year in a pandemic, down economy with the bridge out. I mean, it seems to be working okay. And, she says, look, Andrew, it used to be, I'd say 30 days. I guarantee 30 days, I'll sell your home if we agree about a price, or else I won't take a seller's commission. She's like, that still stands. Okay, that's still on the table. But honestly, it's more like 7 days. Like, something's wrong if we don't get a house sold in 7 days. She was telling me they had a home in Marcus Point, 3 offers in a day, 1 over the list price, another one by the mall, 8 offers in a day. I mean, you have to do everything right. You have to stage it right. You have to photo it right. You have to put it on social media the right way. And there's a lot of things you do right. But when you do it right, the home sold. So the home sell. So if you want to get a good price for your home and you want to sell it, in fact, it seems like if you want it sold, like, don't call her if you don't want it sold. But if you do, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158. Interesting. I think I knew this and I had forgotten it, and I apologize for not mentioning it, but I got a note in here from a friend who says that I may know this already, but people find it interesting perhaps that John Kirby Cubby, I guess is his call sign, was the public affairs officer for the Blue Angels for a number of years in the 90s. And he says he's a great guy and knows him from back then. So I think I knew that, and I think I had forgotten that. So that's a good up. I really like John Kirby. Like, I wish, in my dream scenario, I wouldn't wish this on him, but I wish he'd take over for Jen Psaki. I would love to see him be the White House press secretary, just because, I know he'd do a great job of it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody to leave the Pentagon and go over to be in the White House press room. I wouldn't encourage that. Jen Psaki is just not my favorite. Let me just put it that way.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So today we're going to do something that is definitely news related, but it's going to be my effort to take a horrible, terrible, no good story and turn it into something fun, because as we've reported all morning, and as kind of it became true yesterday, but it's just even worse now. The Biden administration has not mentioned Dr. Seuss in their announcement about National Read Across America Day, which was assigned Ted Geisel, Theodore Geisel's birthday. So it is Dr. Seuss's birthday today. I mean, he's passed away, obviously. But now they're moving away from it. There are schools that are moving away from it. The claims about some of the early works are that he was a racist or whatever. And now the Dr. Seuss Foundation, I guess, is not publishing six of his books, including, and to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, which is a wonderful, wonderful animated novel or illustrated novel. So I thought, you know, we take all this terrible, ridiculous, stupid news and we turn it into something good. Here's the good thing. What's your favorite Dr. Seuss book? 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, there's so many to choose from. I mean, I was genuinely just browsing the catalog a moment ago, and it just, like, each successive book cover just made me grin bigger, happier. Like, these are such, this is probably just a little bit over the top, but I'm going to say it anyway. The Bible, obviously, duh. But if I didn't have the Bible to teach my kids, I'd be tempted to think that just teaching them Dr. Seuss would be okay. I mean, it's not enough, I know, but that's where his works rank in the significance of raising children to me. I was raised on Dr. Seuss. My kids were raised on Dr. Seuss. All the best things. And the notion that people think this is deserving of cancel culture is just, it's unfathomably stupid to me. Even if there are some examples, I do not care. Anyway, so that's my like closest to the news comment. But now actually onto the question. 437-1620, 437-1620. What is your favorite Dr. Seuss? And if you have a why, that's fine. But just what is your favorite Dr. Seuss book, Davis?
For me, you know, you have the ones that were made into movies like Cat in the Hat or Horton Hears a Who. Of course, mm-hmm. The Grinch. They've made many versions of that mm-hmm. now. But for me, I don't think they've made this into any kind of film unless it was like a short kids film. But I've always, always loved this one. Oh, the Places You'll Go.
Oh, it's classic.
I love it. I read it with a big smile on my face because it's just a reminder too, even as an adult, life's a journey. And mm-hmm. so you'll get to where you want to go and may not be right away, but you know, it's a journey. And so enjoy it.
Oh, the Places You Go is absolutely classic. And it is for a time, for maybe 10 or 15 years, I think in the like 90s, early 2000s, it was a very common graduation gift. Might even still be today. You know, people would give that to their kids or their grandkids or to somebody, you know, as a graduation gift for, which you think, well, that's a little bit below the reading level. I know, but it's still wonderful. And certainly the message is fantastic. Somebody here says a classic, Green Eggs and Ham. Oh, yes. And see, and this is the experience. It's like, I think of something that has brought so much joy, somebody who has brought so much joy to people's lives, and the idea that you would go after them to cancel, it's amazing. So anyway, Green Eggs and Ham, absolutely. My personal favorite, it's hard to pick from so many things, but I think mine is probably not the one that is the most popular for everybody, but this is one that I have read so many times, is... I had trouble in getting to Solace Salute. Davis, have you even heard of that Dr. Seuss book?
I don't think so.
So it's about this kid who's got troubles at home, you know, with different things that besiege him and beset him. And so he hears about this mythical place, Solace Salute, where they never have troubles, at least very few. And so he decides to go there, to this utopian paradise, and not to blow the ending or anything, but by the time he goes through all of the troubles of getting there, and oh, it's so difficult to get there, when he finally gets there, he can't get in because there's a key-slapping slizzard, stuck in the lock of the door to Solace Salute, and they can't get in the door. But the gatekeeper says, hey, don't worry, I've heard of this other place that's even better, where they have no troubles, none at all. And he's like, oh, this is ridiculous. So he goes back home and he's basically like, okay, I know my troubles. My troubles are deal. I can deal with these troubles. And now I've seen the world. I know my troubles aren't really that bad. And I know how to deal with them. It's just a wonderful book about seeing things in perspective. And, you know, you think the grass is always greener, but the grass is not always greener. So it's just, again, it's a wonderful book. 437-1620, 437-1620. Marvin K. Mooney, can you please go now? Oh, yeah. Yes, yep. Please.
Good one.
Ah, it's a fantastic book. Somebody here says, the question, what's your favorite Dr. Seuss? 437-1620. Somebody here says, my dad read us Hop and Pop all the time. He says it's a favorite now with my kids. And again, I don't know that I own every Dr. Seuss book. I own most of them. In fact, my first thought when I saw the list of the books that they're going to stop publishing, including Mulberry Street, is I thought, I think I've got all of these, so I don't have to go scramble to buy them before they're unavailable. But I will make sure I have them all before they're unavailable. That's for sure. Somebody here says, Dr. Seuss brings joy. Uncle Joe is a... Uncle Joe Biden is a no joy, killjoy. That's right. 437s. And it's not just him. He's just bowing to the pressure, right? It's everybody else. The Sneetches. Oh, okay, look. If you want to teach a kid how dumb racism is, I mean, you can teach them that God created everybody equal, that God loves everybody equal. You can teach them that we're all descended from Adam or from Noah. You can teach them good theology, okay? Or just read them the Sneetches a bunch. There has never been a more effective kids book about the stupidity of racism than the Sneetches. Mm-hmm. And social status and all the other things that divide. It's a wonderful, beautiful book.
Actually, whenever I think of social status and just sort of like a way to humble myself, I do always think about the Sneetches. So that one's always been one of my favorites.
That's
as well.
Right. And some had star bellies on ours. Yeah, no, it's a wonderful book. Yertle the Turtle, for getting people to understand the stupidity of arrogance. The Butter Book, for thinking about the dangers of escalating conflict. I mean, no, it's a bit of a pacifist track, but that's okay. It's okay to have a little bit of that in you. You know, I was raised by raging liberals. And I still managed to turn out okay. You know, but a lot of that stuff is still in me because a lot of that stuff is true. The Lorax, being concerned about the environment against corporate desecration, that's good stuff for people to know. Those are good basic principles for how to get along with people. 4-3, and how to preserve the environment, which, by the way, is, you know, it's a Christian thing to do. 437-1620, 437-1620. All my kids learn to read with the footbook. Oh, the footbook. Now, I will tell you, I want to end with this just because this is the best I can do on the radio to give a tribute to somebody whose birthday it is, who inspired so much love of reading and imagination and art and everything, is my favorite, if I had to pick the just one, it's not one that has a lot of thematic value to it, okay, but it is one that I read to my kids over and over and over and over again, Fox and Socks.
Fox and Socks.
Do you not know Fox and Socks?
I do. It's been, I can't tell you the last time I read it.
Okay. So my kids know that when I read Fox and Socks, and I'm going to read a little bit of it to you because I think this is one of my favorite Dr. Seuss's, is that you get through all of the Mr. Knox, or you get through Luke Luck Likes Lakes, you get through all of that stuff, and my kids always know this part because you get to a part where it's very well then, Mr. Knox, sir, let's have a little talk about Tweedlebeetles. And the goal for me was always to read Tweedlebeetles as fast and accurately as I possibly could. It's been a couple years. My kids are a little bit older, but I'm going to do my best to read the Tweedlebeetles section because it's so good. What do you know about Tweedlebeetles? Well, when Tweedlebeetles fight, it's called a Tweedlebeetle battle. And when they battle in a puddle, it's a Tweedlebeetle puddle battle. And when Tweedlebeetles battle with paddles in a puddle, they call it a Tweedlebeetle puddle paddle battle. You know, it's interesting. I actually know all of this by reading it on the page, and I'm seeing it in text. It looks a little different. And when beetles battle beetles in a puddle paddle battle, and when beetles battle puddle, and when the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle, they call this a Tweedlebeetle bottle puddle paddle battle muddle. And when beetles fight these battles in a bottle with their paddles, and the bottle's on a poodle, and the poodle's eating noodles, they call this a muddle puddle Tweedle poodle beetle noodle bottle paddle battle. And now wait a minute, Mr. Sox Fox. When a fox is in the bottle where the Tweedlebeetles battle with their paddles in a puddle on a noodle eating poodle, this is what they call a Tweedlebeetle noodle poodle bottle paddled muddled duddled fuddled wuddled fox and sox, sir. Fox and sox, our game is done, sir. Thank you for a lot of fun, sir. See, it doesn't just teach you ethics, it teaches you how to read complicated words. 847 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Now, taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge northbound, I'm not really seeing an accident now. Good news there, but does still show some delays going northbound through the toll plaza. And once you get through that toll plaza, you'll be met with delays around Mary Kitchens Road. So it appears that Avalon is also improving going northbound. Southbound, it is clear until you get around the light in Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point. It shows some backup over there, but nothing too significant. Checking in on that accident over on Highway 98 in front of the Navarre Walmart. Westbound is still showing delays, and eastbound's backing up once again. Earlier reports had stated that traffic was going through the Walmart Supercenter parking lot as part of the reroute, so keep that in mind. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, and no delays to report from the front or back gates of NES Pensacola. And this report is brought to you by Central credit union, hit the open road or the open waters with the RV or boat of your dreams. Rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online at ccufl.org. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, we all get to that point in the relationship with our car where we remember that we used to love the car, but we don't really love the car anymore. Like, it's time to break up with the car, but you keep telling yourself it's not so bad. I'll stick around a little bit long. Look, it's okay. You're going to have to break up eventually. You might as well go ahead and do it now and find one that you'll be happy with. So here's the thing. Frontier Motors specializes in cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old, great condition, low miles. And here's the thing. You'll find a car that you really enjoy driving, and you may find that it saves you money at the same time, because you know how as cars get older, you start to see those $500, $1,000, $1,500 6-month repairs, you know, every year, kind of, and you start to spend more money than even a newer car would cost you. So go to Frontier, find out what they have, find a car that you can really enjoy again, and maybe, I can't promise, but maybe save money in the process. Frontier Motors, serving Pensacola and the Pensacola area for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Eat. Mentioned this last hour, but it's so disappointing, honestly. You remember a couple of weeks ago I mentioned to you that the water tower downtown, you know, the big white water tower with the Blue Angels Classic that's been defunct now for, I mean, God, what, a decade? I don't know how long it's been since the Blue Angels Classic was last played, but that has the F-18 on the one side, on the south side, and then on the north side it's got the Cradle of Naval Aviation and the Wings of Gold on it. Wonderful Pensacola icon, right? I mean, not quite the beach ball in terms of its significance, but just a cool thing. I mean, you get the Blue Angels at the intersection of I-10 and 110 on all the walls there. It's a cool thing. The Blue Angel on the water tower is a cool thing. Even if it's associated with a thing that doesn't exist anymore, who cares? Nobody cares. So when they put the shroud up over the water tower, and it now looks like the monument to sewing, the big thimble, I wondered and I worried that they were not going to preserve the Blue Angels or the Cradle of Naval Aviation on either side. Well, sadly, worries turn out to be true. So I talked to ECUA yesterday, and I asked, what's going to be on the new tower? Are you keeping the Blue Angels iconography? Nope. What are you putting on there? The ECUA logo on three sides. No, nobody wants to see that. Nobody cares. Look, ECUA provides an important essential service. I'm very supportive. You know, I have a good relationship with all these people. That's not the issue. You're taking away an iconic, literally an icon, like the definition of iconic Pensacola thing, and you're replacing it with, when, I mean, genuinely nobody cares. There's nobody driving in from out of town to go to vacation that's going to drive past that and be like, huh, cool, green and blue dolphin, yay. But they did see the Cradle of Naval Aviation, and I know for me as a transplant here, identify with that water tower. Love that. Love seeing it. Love seeing it coming back up going the north and seeing the blue. Just, it's cool. Or, well, it was. So I don't know if this is a decision that's reversible. It probably isn't at this point. But if you have a suggestion for what you'd, I just keep what was there. Or, I mean, I don't know. You can put anything up there. Keep it without the Blue Angels Classic part. Just keep the Hornet on there. Anything, but just not 3 ECU. 437-1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
And I was banking on the Sun Belt tournament. God. I was thinking, although it was more of a joke just because of how long they kept the golf tournament up there, but still, that would have been fun. But it does remind me that the Sun Belt tournament, it will be here on Friday. Game starting as early as 11 a.m. And this is actually a note. They are really encouraging people not to go to PSC, which is the other venue. It's because of the small capacity and still dealing with COVID-19. They are encouraging people go to the Bay Center. if you want to see any games. And they'll be starting as early as 11 a.m. with the women's matchup on Friday. So getting to look forward to that. Of course, we'll be out there looking to have those good times. And speaking of college basketball news, number one team in the nation still Gonzaga. Michigan, number two, while Baylor Bears, number three. And Illinois coming in at number four. Yay. So that's really cool. J.J. Watt, star defensive end, formerly of the Texans, now with the Arizona Cardinals, signing a $31 million deal for 2 years, 23 of it guaranteed. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on The Vibes.
Very good. And oh, by the way, we have tickets to go see Pensacola Opera's HMS Pinafore March 10th at the Sanger Theater. I have a pair of tickets to go see HMS Pinafore, Pensacola Opera's HMS Pinafore at the Sanger on March 10th. You can go if you are caller number two right now, 437-1620, 437-1620. Back to you, Davis, for traffic on The Fives.
And I realized I said traffic on The Fives. That was your quick
it's
shot.
All right.
This is your traffic on The Fives as northbound going on Garcon, still a little slow moving, so expect those delays going across the entire span of the bridge. And Avalon still showing delays around Mary Kitchens Road northbound. Going westbound, Highway 98, Navarre Parkway still delayed due to an accident earlier that closed off a portion of the roadway. We are seeing delays, but it's going rerouting traffic through the Walmart parking lot. If you see anything else, give me a call at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on The Fives.
You know, I'm always talking about Southeast Air Shuttle and how he can Captain Air can help you get to your business meeting. He can help you get to a regional location of any kind, especially something that's like close to a big city but not in the big city. There's a lot of time these civil aviation airports that he can take you directly to where you're going and get you 3 minutes from it instead of having to go through the traffic of the big city. That's all true. But maybe you don't have business dealings in these other places. Maybe you don't have to get to Tampa or to Huntsville for a business. Maybe you're just thinking about a weekend trip. Hey, he does that. He'll take you on a Friday, take you and your sweetie, you and your buddies, whatever the case may be. You want to go golfing somewhere, you want to go to Asheville, you want to go to Charleston, Nashville, Key West, you want to get there by happy hour, stay over Saturday, Sunday brunch, and come home and be ready for a new work week. He can do that. That's the point. Southeast Air Shuttle gives you freedom in the skies. You fly when you want, not when you're told. Southeast Air Shuttle, your no-line airline. Find out more at flysoutheast.com. A58 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Future News, Davis and I tell you the truth before it's true. Is there any hope that ECUA will change course and keep something of the old Blue Angels stuff on top of that water tower on I-110?
Too much time and money, I think, so no.
I got a text in from somebody who said that they'd like to see it painted Blue Angels blue and gold. Oh, I love that idea. That's pretty cool, too. Anything, please, anything. China rules. Will DeSantis get his bill through? Will it affect things? Will the feds try to preempt stuff away from him because of it?
I don't think so.
You don't think it'll get passed, or you don't think it'll get preempted?
I don't think it'll get preempted. I do think it'll get passed.
I think it'll pass and make a difference. I hope it will not get preempted away. Will we get 170,000 doses of the J&J vaccine in Florida this week?
We will.
I'm going to say yes, too. Dr. Seuss, will there be more popularity for Dr. Seuss after calls to cancel him because of some of the old works, or will he go away?
No, he'll be more popular.
I hope that this is a huge upswell or surge in support for Dr. Seuss. Absolutely love him, of course. United Methodist Church, in the midst of maybe a church split over the issue of gays in the church, will that or will that not be a church split?
I think it will be.
Yeah, sadly, I think it will be as well.